So I'm Andrew, I'm one of the occasional preachers at St. Matthew's, and we're going to look at the passage that's just been read together. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you that you speak to us by your word. We pray that you would be with us now, that you would speak through my words, but also in the meditation of all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. There's always been pressure to conform. And most people do conform. This was seen in one of my favorite psychology experiments. They invited groups of children to come and choose which was the longest of three lines. But in fact, 9 out of 10 students in every group had been told beforehand, choose the second longest line. And they were really only studying the one student in every group who hadn't been warned in advance. And when all of their friends chose the second longest line, the one that they were really studying, they would always choose the longest line to start with, and then most of them would change their mind to agree with all their friends. The Romans, they called Christians atheists and persecuted them because they didn't believe in all of the Roman gods. And modern liberals, they're also under pressure to conform, as we saw with the controversial letter against so-called cancel culture recently. It was signed by 150 writers and academics and activists earlier this month. Do we dare to be different from other people? Well, this passage about salt and light outlines what it means to be a follower of Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, you are simply different. You influence other people. And you do that not by conforming or hiding, but by engaging as one who belongs to Jesus as his representative. As a disciple of Jesus, you're different from other people. You have a distinctive identity. Jesus was speaking to his followers who'd gone to join him on a mountainside. That was what made them different from the rest of the crowds. In verse 1, they followed Jesus up a hill. But Jesus didn't say to them, as we might expect, you are lost, but I can find you. You're confused, but I can teach you. You are weak, but I can help you. That would all be true. He also didn't say, try really hard to be salty. Try to shine brightly, as if they were better than other people, more capable. They're not. Instead, he just says, they are different. In verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. And in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Jesus' disciples are different. Being disciples makes us different. So we shouldn't expect to completely fit in, to go unnoticed. If you are a disciple of Jesus, then you should be different from other people because your purpose is different. Your purpose is to glorify God in verse 16. So the way you behave will be different, and this should be attractive and helpful to others. If you're not yet a disciple of Jesus, then you can expect your Christian friends to be different in some respects. But this should be a good thing, not a bad thing. So perhaps there's a challenge to those of us who are Christians. Salt and light are useful, good things. And that should be clear as we think more about those two pictures. As a disciple of Jesus, you influence other people. And if we think about these two pictures of salt and light, we can see what Jesus means about how Christians should influence our communities and our wider society. As salt, Christians have an effect by being mixed together with others in society. And as light, Christians have an effect by bringing a light to bear on all those around them. As salt, we are insiders, influencing by being among other people. Salt acts in a gentle, subtle way. When I look up definitions of the Greek word salt, it's not only used literally to mean salt, but also as a metaphor for wisdom and grace together. And in this passage, Jesus doesn't talk specifically about particular uses of salt. The key thing is that it must be salty, it must be different. Christians should have an effect on the communities that we live in. Perhaps there's a clue to what Jesus had in mind in the verses before this passage, in verses 3 to 12. Are you merciful? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Can you say with Jesus, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, Christians who respond like that to persecution are clearly very distinctive and will have an effect on those around them. But being salty is not an easy thing to do in difficult circumstances. As light, we influence other people by bringing illumination from outside. Light dispels darkness, showing us what's true. It reveals and shows where to go, how to find things, dangers to avoid. It wakes us up. Perhaps, like me, you're sometimes woken at 4 a.m. by the sunlight. Light warns of danger, like a lighthouse. It may not be so comfortable, but a true friend tells us what we need to hear, not just what we want to hear. And light reveals both good things and problems, so it's welcome sometimes and less welcome at other times. We need to hold the ideas of salt and light together. Salt is often unseen, subtle, a metaphor for acting with both wisdom and grace. Light brings truth, but both are useful when they're brought to bear influence, not when salt is kept bottled up or when a light is hidden under a bowl. So as Christians, we're not to act purely in secret as anonymous do-gooders in a society without any explanation. But nor should we imagine that we stand separate from others, irradiating them with illumination as if we were better than them, possessors of special knowledge. If we are followers of Jesus, then we are influencers, bringing both grace and clarity to the world around us. I think a good example of salt and light Christianity is the hospitality offered by the church in Lebanon to Syrian refugees. Even though the Christian population in Lebanon has been falling from a majority down to below 20%, and as Syrian refugees become a huge part of the population there, one local pastor says, here in Lebanon, Muslims come to us and we don't hesitate to help them. As a church, you can't build walls around you. You have to reach out to the community. Because they are salt and light, people come to them. They come to the church to hear more about Jesus. Well, as a disciple of Jesus, you have a big job to do. Jesus says that his disciples are salt of all the earth, light of the whole cosmos. So you're not only salt in your own home, on your street, among your extended family, your work colleagues, your friends. Together we are the salt of the whole earth and the light of the whole cosmos. It seems a huge job. Whether you're a believer or not, you might reasonably wonder how on earth a follower of Jesus could do this enormous task. So let's look at two more things. Firstly, how to do the job in the right way, because Jesus gives two warnings to illustrate this. And secondly, how can we, as weak, ordinary followers of Jesus, be equipped to do this task? Jesus gave his followers very clear warnings about the effective use of salt and light. So salt is only useful if it's distinctively salty, We can't be salt if we conform to the expectations of society around us. Paul warned the Roman Christians not to conform to the pattern of this world. So as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be different, and we are supposed to exert an influence on the wider society that we're a part of. And if not, we're worthless as salt. Jesus warns that salt, if it's become insipid, tasteless, no longer salty, is useless. It's good for nothing, only to be cast out as unworthy, trodden underfoot, in other words, deserving contempt and scorn. Similarly, a light that is hidden is useless. We cannot influence others if we hide our light, our distinctiveness, the truth of who we follow. We will not influence others if we huddle together, apart from the world, completely separated, or even worse, loudly critical of it while completely disengaged. The idea of encouraging Christians to engage with other people is a much bigger idea than telling the good news of the gospel with words, although it does include that. So Rebecca Manley Pippett's book, Out of the Salt Shaker, describes evangelism as a way of life. Being salt and light means living the gospel in the fullest sense, fully engaged with our communities and so with the wider society. When as Christians we're not salty, when we lack wisdom and grace, when we hide our light and the truth of Jesus cannot be seen in our lives, we're not behaving as disciples of Jesus should. This happens even when we simply conform to the pattern of lives around us without doing anything spectacularly bad. Jesus' followers are supposed to be distinctive because of their good deeds in verse 16, not mediocrity. The mismatch between our claims of faith and ever so ordinary lives deserves disdain and contempt. Unsalty salt is good for nothing, only to be thrown out and trampled. A light must be lifted up high for people to see it. The first time I read Jesus' teaching about his followers being salt and light, I had a lot of questions. How could I be the salt of the earth, the light of the world? It's impossible. I'm too weak. I'm not brave enough. I'm simply not good enough. But if you've read this teaching many times, it becomes quite familiar and perhaps loses its wonder. So I found it quite refreshing to look at this passage again. Part of the reason that these words are so familiar is that it's been absorbed into our language. So people will say about people in a good way, "Ah, they're the salt of the earth." Or in a bad way, "He's not worth his salt." But if we take a second look at these pictures of salt and light. So first, you are the salt of the earth. At the time Jesus used these analogies, salt was very valuable. Roman soldiers were paid in part with an allowance of salt, hence our word salary, from salarium, salt money. And as mentioned earlier, salt also has the sense of wisdom and grace exhibited in speech, which we saw in Colossians 4:6. "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." To be the salt of the earth is to be valuable, to be transformative, to bring wisdom and grace. Well, we know that we are fallible humans like those first followers of Jesus, but Jesus calls his followers the salt of the earth. And I don't think he was being ironic, even though his first followers made lots of mistakes, just like we do. It's because becoming a Christian produces changes in our attitudes and behavior, which brings the blessings described in the earlier verses, 3 to 12, but also inevitably has an effect on other people. Jesus' disciples are the salt of the earth because he's given us the task of representing him with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. We follow Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God in human form, who entered the world gently, bringing wisdom and grace, with the salt of the earth, to the extent that we follow Jesus. Jesus values us, and it is his power in us that is transformative in the world. And secondly, light of the world. This phrase is so familiar that it doesn't seem surprising, perhaps, to hear Jesus say, "You are the light of the world." But wait a minute. This is the distinctive title that Jesus gave himself in John 8, verse 12. He said, "I am the light of the world." And in John 1, we saw that this title uniquely described Jesus. It couldn't even be applied to the great prophet, John the Baptist, who was described as not the light in verse 9 of chapter 1. Paul does tell the Philippians Christians to shine like stars among the people of their generation, but nowhere else except here are ordinary Christians called the light of the world. Jesus is giving his own name to his disciples. So how do we understand this? The Amplified version of the Bible translates, "You are the light of Christ to the world." Again, to the extent that Jesus lives in us, so we are the light of the world. We're the light of the world because Christ lives in us. The good changes in attitude and behavior not only bring us blessing, but they're visible. All the more so when we face difficulties and even persecution. This little light of mine, as the song goes, is not little at all. It's the light of Christ within us. Jesus says you are to let your light, which is of course Jesus himself, shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, as disciples of Jesus, we are different in a good way. We influence others as long as we don't try to hide our differentness as Jesus followers. And we do this as Jesus representatives, not in our own strength, but for God's glory. Glory to God, our Almighty, our Father in heaven. Amen.